If you would please, let's get started this morning. We'll turn over to the book of Ephesians to start. Ephesians chapter 4. The question I want to ask today is a question that I don't think a lot of church-going people have ever consciously asked themselves. The question is, what kind of a Christian do you want to be? What kind of a Christian do I want to be? You may have the guy, he looks at his wife. What do the signs say on the way in here? What denomination are we in? I'll be that kind. What kind of a Christian do you want to be? A good one? How do you do that? Most people become the kind of Christian that their pastor tells them to become, or their church order. They're just taught to follow. Here's the denominational handbook. Follow this and you'll get along. That's how it was for me. Here's our handbook. This is what you need to believe to be a good Christian. What if I told you that your final authority in all matters was not a pastor, was not a denomination, was not a deacon? Where would I get a crazy idea like that? You may have not thought that before. I was never taught to think that as a child growing up. Steve, your final authority in all matters is not the pastor and is not the deacon board of this church. I was never told that or modeled that. Look over at Ephesians 4:14. It's talking about people needing to grow up in church. You know, people always want to talk about a childlike faith. We're told to grow up as saints. We're told to grow up and be ambassadors and be soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. If you're saved today, if you've trusted Christ's payment for your sins, your head is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a member of the body, the same as I am, the same as anybody who's saved is. We are members one of another. Now, it is true, you know, we were talking about YouTube before we started. In the age of YouTube, denominational structure and denominational order is starting to break down some. We have people now who, I call it buffet theology, where you can go to this guy on YouTube and that church on YouTube and that denomination, and you just pick out the things you like. I like this, I like that, and you have your buffet, and by the time you're done, you don't realize that you believe two completely opposite things, which a lot of people do. So that it is true that that's a little bit more disjointed, but again, let's ask ourselves the question, what kind of a Christian do I want to be? Do you want to be? Do you want to be a loving Christian? Who wouldn't want to be loving, right? Well, that goes some places you may not want to go if you think about what people call loving these days. What about relevant? Who wants to be irrelevant, right? Everybody wants to matter. So you hear somebody talking, I'm relevant. We're relevant Christians here. Well, I want to line up with that. What about evangelical? Well, that's got to be good, right? They're evangelizing. Isn't that what we talked about doing next weekend here? I want to line up with that. Evangelism, that sounds good. What about fundamental? That doesn't sound good, does it? Fundamental? Aren't those the guys, the fundamentals in Islam, those are the guys who are always exploding, right? We don't want to be that. Fundamental. That's like those Westboro Baptists, right? We don't want to be that. That sounds bad. But what kind of a Christian do you want to be? We have these terms that float around in the Christian culture. And what do they mean? What do they stand for? Lots of people claim to be sold out. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a disciple of Christ. And they They say they're following Jesus. They believe they're following Jesus, but they've chosen to believe something that dramatically affects what kind of Christian they're going to be. And they may not have even thought of it. They've chosen to believe something that affects them. What if I told you, you can be a loving Christian? You can be a relevant Christian. You can be evangelical. You can even be some stripes of fundamental Christian. What if I told you you could line up with one or more of those things and not end up being the kind of Christian that your Bible wants you to be? Well, that's not possible. There's nothing wrong ever said in the pulpit, right? If it's in church, it's got to be holy. Not so much. People choose to believe something that chops their Christianity off at the knees, and they don't even realize it happened to them. Let me read a quote to you. This is from a Christian, a follower of Christ. I mean, you can't claim to be an intelligent, rational person and actually believe in stuff like a six-day creation that was only about 6,000 years ago, or believe that a guy got swallowed by a whale and came out preaching 3 days later. You can't believe that. You just gotta focus on being an awesome and solid Christ follower. So you don't need to believe the Bible, just follow Christ really hard. That's what a Christian says. And Christians, I have friends, people I know, have been put into spiritual bondage, and it happens all over the world every day, age of YouTube again, by people who claim, I'm speaking for Christ, but then chain you to ideas and philosophies and beliefs that make it impossible for you to believe Christ. Does that make any sense to you? You got to be an awesome Christ follower, but you can't believe it. No, it doesn't make sense when you say it like that, does it? That's what I want to talk about today. What kind of Christian do you want to be? The kind of Christian I want to be, put me on the stand, I don't want to be chained to the bondage of the religious elite. Whether it be the ivory towers of Rome or whether it be the ivory towers of the Protestant popes all around this country. I don't want to be chained into bondage to what a celebrity says. They dictate, and it's the Protestant, you know, that I heard an old preacher quote one time. He said, you know, the Protestant nut didn't fall very far from the Catholic tree. And the older I get and the more experience I get, that's pretty right. Because they say, oh no, the priesthood's bad, no, this is bad. But then they act like what they say is bad. And they just call it by different names. I don't want to be in bondage. I want to be in liberty, as my Bible tells me to be. I want to be, and I want every person here to be, the kind of Christian that is free, that has a Bible in their hand, and that's enough. A Bible in their hand, and that's enough. A Bible believed, and it must be, according to 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly divided. That means two things. It must be divided, and you can get it wrong. Rightly divided. A Bible believed, rightly divided, according to the revelation of the mystery of Christ, Romans 16:25. That's my hope for everybody I come in contact with. If you've never thought about what kind of Christian do I want to be, I would encourage you to listen to what the material we're going to look at today. And start, if you maybe have chained yourself to one of these things, one of the celebrities that preaches Christ, one of these, I want you to try to break the chain. Set yourself free from the celebrity. Set yourself free from the bondage that's been put on you. And have a look at your Bible. And maybe chain yourself to God's Word instead of a man. Another question I want to ask is, do you love... We talked about following Christ but not believing Him. Do you love and serve a liar? Is your Savior a liar? Are you following a liar? Now, here's another quote for you. This is a reverend. He calls himself reverend. By the way, the word reverend appears exactly one time in your Bible, and it's talking about God's name. So that's a curious title for a person to give themselves if they've studied their Bible at all. I tell people, you can call me whatever you want. Call me Steve, call me Pastor Steve, call me Hey You. Whatever you do, though, please don't call me reverend. Holy and reverend is the Lord's name, and that's not Steve. But this quote here from the reverend, he's an associate dean of religious life, and he says, believing in the factuality of the fantastic stories in the Bible is trivial. So believing the records recorded in the Bible is a trivial matter to this guy. And that is exactly why it makes no sense to let such questions matter very much in living a faithful Christian life. So according to this guy, you can be a faithful Christian and not believe what the Bible says. That's new. It really is important whether or not you take the Bible literally. If they don't make sense to you, don't worry about them. Don't let dogma and doctrine get in the way of practicing love, who is God. Do you see what he did with that verse? Everybody knows the verse, God is love. He flipped it on his head. Love is God. So you can be an awesome Christian and not believe a thing the Bible says. Oh, he goes on here. Instead of caring whether the story of Jesus' resurrection was a fact or a myth, let's concern ourselves with things that matter. So according to the Reverend Dean, whether or not Jesus rose from the dead physically or not is irrelevant to having a great Christian life. Does anybody have a verse screaming out of the back of your brain right now? 1 Corinthians 15, anyone? If Christ be not raised, then you're all wasting your time here. Let's go home, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. The dean apparently didn't catch that verse. But that is, hey, the dean's relevant. He's at a big school. He's got a big audience. And he says he's loving. But is he the kind of Christian that the Bible wants him to be? Well, he can't be, really, because the Bible is irrelevant to him. Oh, he goes on more. When Jesus asked us to believe in him, he wasn't asking us to believe a list of ideas about him. He was asking us to believe in that spark of the divine that was inside of him. Because he wanted us to believe in the spark of divine that is in every one of us. So apparently Jesus is the same as you and me. He's not God manifest in the flesh. He's just like you and me, and we all are little gods. We all have little sparks of the divine in us. So if I could summarize, you know, it sounds really good the way he says it. Let me summarize for the good reverend. You've heard it said of old, let God be true and every man a liar, Romans 3:4. But I, the great and wonderful Reverend Dean, say, let man be God, and let every word in God's book be a lie, if it inconveniences you, the little man God. Is that the kind of Christian you think God wants us to be? No. Now, he's an extreme case. But let's dial it back a few steps and maybe shave off the edges on his statements. That's the majority of the mainstream Christian celebrities. They don't believe they have a book that's trustworthy. Every time you hear a man stand in a pulpit and say, oh, that's an unfortunate rendering, what this should say is, he's saying God didn't preserve his word. But he may be fundamental. Is that the kind of Christian that God wants you to be? Is that the kind of Christian that you want to be? One who doesn't need to believe your Bible. What happens to your Christianity when you choose not to believe your Bible? That's what you're calling yourself after Christ. I am a Christian, but I don't believe the Bible. What does that look like? I'm going to show you today that that puts you in a position where you say, the Christ, in the name Christian, that I claim to be, that Christ is a liar. That's what we're going to see today. Barna, has anybody ever heard of the Barna surveys? George Barna, he surveys Christianity in America. As of 2011, 3 in 10 of church-going people who identify as Christian in America, 3 in 10 people who populate pews every week believe the Bible is the Word of God. Let's look at it another way. 70% of people who go to church in America and call themselves Christians do not believe the Bible is the Word of God. That's the country we live in today. 49% of church-going people believe that the Word was initially inspired but was lost to corruption and error and should not be taken literally. Half of people say, don't take it literal. It was good when God made the original whenever, but God, you know, God lost it. You know, He was working with men. What do you expect? God lost His Bible. That's half of Christians in America. 17% of Christians in America believe that the Bible is a book of fables and slogans. They call themselves Christians. Let's go read our fable book. Let's go read our story book. Today it's Habakkuk, tomorrow it's Aesop's Fables, it's all the same. This isn't the atheist talking, this is the Christians. The overwhelming view of the mainstream in our country believe the Bible is no more inspired than the writings of Plato or the Quran. It's just a dusty old spiritual book. You wouldn't look to it for anything relevant. I want to show you, like I said today, some information. You can be loving, you can be relevant, you can be evangelical, you can even be some stripes of fundamental. You can be all of those things, but unless you choose to be a Bible-believing Christian, you're serving a man, you're following a man, you're calling yourself after a man who you say is a liar. And you didn't even know you did that. I told you about the chains of bondage that religious elite put on you. You didn't realize that when you believed that man and that wonderful sermon he gave and that beautiful thing he said and the wonderful way he said it, you didn't realize that he just talked you into thinking that your Savior's a liar. It happens and we don't realize it. That's why there are folks like me out there. Are you the kind of Christian that calls your Savior a liar? Christians don't think the Lord Jesus Christ literally created the world, the majority of them. In the beginning, everybody knows Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth, right? What's John 1:3 say? All things were made by Him, talking about Christ, the Word, and without Him was not anything made that was made. What does that do? That says Christ is God and Christ is the Creator. That means if we're following words of Christ and putting them in red letters, why isn't "let there be light" in red letters? Christ is the Creator. You believe that a Jew walking around 2,000 years ago was God in a body? You don't believe that. You need to believe the spark of the divine that was in Him. The Jefferson Bible. Has anybody ever heard of the Jefferson Bible? He loved the philosophies and the morals and the writings of Jesus. And he literally cut and pasted everything out that talked about Christ as divine or talked about Him as supernatural because he knew that wasn't true. Is that the kind of Christian you want to be? You want to be a Thomas Jefferson Christian? Colossians 1:16 says, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." So the good Reverend Dean in California, is he the Creator God of the universe or isn't he? Christ believed He was God. So if He wasn't, what does that make you if you don't believe Him? You believe your Savior is a liar. Isn't that such an odd position to find yourself in? I love Jesus, I'm serving Jesus, and I believe He's a liar. He's God and He's holy, but He's a liar. Christ said in John 10:30, "I and My Father are one." If you're one with God, you have to be God, right? The Godhead is what our Bible calls it. Jesus said in John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. If you know your Bible, you know what I am means. What should we call you? What should I tell the children of Israel your name is? I am. Did Abraham live before Jesus? Beat him by a couple thousand years or so, right? And Christ stands up and says, before Abraham was, I am. He's claiming to be God. How about Jehovah God says there is no Savior other than Him? Hosea 13:4 says, yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. What does Christ say? Or what does Philippians say about Christ? Our conversation is in heaven, Philippians 3:20. From whence also we look for what? The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God on one page of your Bible says, there's no other Savior but me. On another page it says, the Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. That means either your Savior is a liar or He is God. He is God manifest in the flesh. What about believing? And you get to the point these days where you tell somebody, I believe in a young earth and I believe in the Genesis account of creation. They may smile and nod at you, but what you've just done, and you didn't realize this happened, is you just lost 50 IQ points in the eyes of the person you're talking to. Because they've been taught only those foolish idiot Christians believing in their dusty old fable book don't trust science. And they're afraid of science. I'm not afraid of science. I know what science is. It's things that you could observe, measure, and repeat, and test your experiments, and test your hypotheses, and test your theories. What's being preached in schools and indoctrinated to our children today is not science. It's the religion of Darwinian evolution, and it's a religion. But you still have to deal with real people. You just lost 50 IQ points. Many millions of relevant, loving, evangelical, and even some fundamental Christians reject the Genesis account of creation. Out of hand. Ridiculous. By the way, they're lining up with the Pope. The last 6 or 7 popes have rejected the Genesis account of creation. Jesus believed in the Genesis account of creation. So if you stand up here, I am a relevant, loving follower of Christ, but it's ridiculous to believe in the Genesis account of creation, you're a follower of Christ who just called your Savior a liar. Christ believed in the Genesis account of creation. Is that, we don't think about these kind of things. We just read a book from the latest, greatest, relevant, wonderful author. Oh, this guy's wonderful. He's making you call your Savior a liar. Is that wonderful? Christ said in Matthew 19:4-6, and He answered and said unto them, have ye not read that... Oh, read. Christ must believe that God didn't lose His word. Oops. Have ye not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Man and woman created, literally, just like Genesis said. Mark 10:6 says, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Wow. Christ believed Genesis. But you don't because you're too smart. Isn't that an interesting position to say? I'm smarter than my Savior who couldn't get things right. Here's one that the scholars, if you've done scholarly studies, a lot of scholars don't believe that Moses wrote the first 5 books in the Bible. Because, you know, they're with the Reverend Dean out there in California, and they come up with other explanations. Christ believed Moses wrote those books. Moses writes an accurate account of things that happened in the Garden of Eden. He wasn't alive then, was he? So it had to be inspired by God. Well, who wrote the last chapter of Deuteronomy then? Moses was dead in the last chapter of Deuteronomy. I would point to the guy he handed the reins off to, Joshua. The ivory towers, the relevant, the loving, the evangelical leaders will tell you, these books should be seen as a mixture of credible historical events and religious poetry sparked by man's religious imagination, written from about 950 BC to 400 BC. So, the relevant, the loving say, don't believe that Moses wrote that stuff. Look what it does to your Savior. It makes your Savior a liar. Matthew 8:4, Jesus saith unto them, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded. Christ telling this guy to follow the law and saying that Moses wrote it down. What does he say in John 5? John 5:46, Christ says, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Looks like Christ believed Moses wrote it. Christ saying the people should have believed Moses, and you should have believed me because Moses was writing about me. So I can agree with the ivory towers, but I've got an idiot now for a Savior. Does anybody want an idiot that can't get things right for a Savior? And you, like I said, you read the book by the wonderful author, and you never realized that happened. You never realized you've been put in that quandary. John 7:19, Christ says, did not Moses give you the law? Who wrote it? Jesus? Moses. What about the flood? You don't literally believe a guy built a boat and the whole planet flooded. And they got on the ark 2x2. No, I don't believe they got on 2x2, because in Genesis we can read the clean beast got on by sevens. Who told you 2x2? You don't literally believe that stupid account. How should we interpret the Genesis flood account? Christians do not feel the text requires that the flood be global, but could have covered the small region of the earth known to Noah. So we got a little splash and dash in the Middle East, but it wasn't, as your Bible says, a whole global flood. Why, you can't be loving, you can't be relevant, you can't be evangelical and say those kinds of things and believe those kinds of things. People will think you're dumb. What did Jesus think? Let's read this here. Let's turn over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24:37. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took how many of them away? All of them away. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He says it again in Luke 17. It says the flood came in Luke 17:27 and destroyed them all. I don't believe in a, you can't believe in a literal flood. Well, then you can't believe your Savior. You can't believe the Christ that you name yourself after, Christian. People say that Abraham never existed. Abraham, the scholars. Abraham was, he never existed. He was an amalgam of folklore figures combined into one compelling tale of a great tribal patriarch. That's what the scholars will tell you. What did Jesus say? We just saw the verse. Before Abraham was. So Christ thinks Abraham was a real man. Think he literally walked the earth. Sodom and Gomorrah, anyone? Oh, we can't talk about that. Can't talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. That's not right. Your Lord Jesus Christ believed that God literally rained fire and brimstone down on those cities. So you can choose to not believe that tale, that fable, but you can't do that. You can't be a loving and a relevant person deny the historicity of Sodom and Gomorrah and say, my Savior's not a liar. Christ said, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment for that city in Matthew 10. Pillar of salt, though, come on. Isn't this a guy who was angry with his wife? He wanted to get rid of her, so he wrote this tale about how she magically got turned into a pile of salt. But really, he, you know, got rid of her. Christ says, remember Lot's wife? Christ believed that Lot's wife got changed into a pillar of salt. Let God be true, every man a liar. If the guy I'm trusting to save my soul from the hell that I so richly deserved believes something, should not I believe it too? If I'm saying, I need him, he's my Savior, he's the only way I'm going to get my sins paid for and get right with God, shouldn't I believe the same things he did? But man, you can't do that and be in a loving church. You can't do that and be in a relevant church in many evangelical churches, and it's creeping into fundamentals. I'd rather stand alone with a Savior who's not a liar than with a crowd of people who call him a liar. That's what I would encourage all of you to do too. Manna from heaven. Do you believe food fell out of heaven onto the earth and fed the Israelites? The scholars say they just found some psychedelic mushrooms out in the desert. And they were on some kind of a trip, and they thought it fell down from heaven, and you get the story. The Israelites were all high in the desert. Your Bible says God rained down food from heaven, and if they disobeyed his rules and tried to hoard the food and not have their daily bread, by the way, that's why Christ tells Israel to pray for their daily bread. If you took 2 days worth and you're only supposed to take one, it rotted and was spoiled and was awful. You believe that crazy stuff? Jesus did. Our fathers, he says in John 6:31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. There it is again. It is written. This happened. It's written. This happened. Have you not read? Christ believes these events, and Christ believes where you can find an accurate record of these events. Interesting. Here's another one for any of you who've done textual criticism or scholarly studies. Christ believed that Daniel wrote the book of Daniel. Did you know that you're not supposed to know that Daniel wrote the book of Daniel? If you're loving, if you're relevant, if you're evangelical, you should know that Daniel didn't write the book of Daniel. You know why? Because it's so accurate on predicting the future. It's so accurate on predicting thousands of years of human history and how things actually played out. So you should know that was written by later people who actually saw these things take place, because we don't believe in the supernatural. We don't believe in the Bible. They say, good Christian Christ followers say that the writing of Daniel is about the 2nd century B.C., written by the Maccabees. What did Jesus think? Jesus thinks Daniel wrote Daniel. Matthew 24:15 says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Oh, there's that record again. Christ believes that there is a record you can corroborate. Jonah, come on. Got in the welly of the bale. Isn't that how you say it? The welly of the bale? The belly of the whale? The belly of the great fish? You believe that a giant fish swallowed a guy. He lived in the fish's belly for 3 days. The fish puked him out, and now he's preaching. Come on. I want to be loving. I want to be relevant. I want to be evangelical. But you can't believe craziness like that and be a good Christian. Well, first of all, I don't need Daniel to have survived. Jonah. I don't need Jonah to have survived in the welly of the bale. What does Jonah say when he's in the belly of the whale? He says, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardst my voice. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought my life up from corruption, O Lord. That doesn't look like he's alive. Looks like he's dead. And isn't that what Christ said? So shall the sign of Jonah, the prophet Jonah. Wouldn't that make much more sense if Jonah was literally dead for 3 days and three nights? Just like the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know why we all think that Jonah had to survive, by the way? Because we read a chick tract where they found a guy who survived. I think it was a shark that ate him. Shark swallowed him up. They caught the shark sometime later, and he was still alive and was able to keep living. So they say, see, a man can survive. I don't need him to survive. I serve a God who can make dead people rise up and walk. But did you know Jesus believed in Jonah? Jesus believed in a literal account of Jonah. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights. So, back to the question at the beginning, what kind of a Christian do I want to be? Whatever your answer to that is going to be directly related to how you view this book. Do I view it as literal? Do I view it as true? Do I view it as reliable? You can choose not to. You can choose to call this unreliable, book of fables, book of stories, maybe right in the originals, but corrupted, and now you can't trust it. You can believe all those things, and you can have a lot of company, and a lot of friends, and a lot of influence. But you can't believe that and say, but my Savior's not a liar. Because if you say this is wrong, you are making the statement, I am following a liar, and I love him, and he's wonderful. That's curious. Are you following a liar? Turn over, please, to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We'll wrap this up here shortly. By the way, when I say that, you should know by now that means absolutely nothing. When a preacher says, finally, he could go on for another 2 hours. Let's finish up with, he didn't tell you how long it was going to take to finish up. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You don't need to believe the Bible literally to be an awesome, sold-out follower of Jesus, man. The Bible was written by men. We all know that. Receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. That's what my Bible tells me to come to it as. So my Bible claims to be the word of God, claims I should take it as the word of God, tells me that men are liars, Romans 3:4, and I should believe God rather than liars. And what do men do? Men stand up and say, yep, the Bible's right. Do you know how they do that? By saying, don't believe the Bible literally. It was written by men. You can't trust that. So they prove the Bible's point. They stand up and lie just like the Bible told you they would. Isn't that nice? Now you can know. Jesus believed that the words of the Bible came from God. If you don't believe that, you're saying Jesus is a liar. Christ says in Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What's Christ quoting? The Bible! He says it again in Luke 4:4. So what kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of Christian do I want to be? I would say a good place to start is I'm going to be the kind of Christian who believes my Bible. Because I don't want to have a liar for a Savior. Be the kind of Christian that believes their Bible. You can be relevant in a lot of wonderful ways and get a lot of good work done for the Lord Jesus Christ on this sin-cursed earth if you start there. I want to be the kind of Christian who believes the book. Be a free man. Be a free woman. Don't be chained by the bondage of the religious elite. Let God's words break the chain from around your neck. Break the chain of putting you into a position where I'm a wonderful, loving Christian and I have a liar for a Savior. I don't want to be there. I don't want anybody to put me there. I want to be free. Isn't that what Galatians talks about? Don't let anybody put you in bondage. Be at liberty. Just be a Christian that has a Bible in their hand and believes it. And if you believe it, you know what's going to happen? If you're a Bible believer, your Bible will force you to do something in 2 Timothy 2:15. It will force you to rightly divide it. It will force you to study it. And let it be believed and rightly divided long enough, it might turn you into a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So, literal Bible belief. Ugh. That puts you over here, doesn't it? That's the exploding guys on the other side of the religion. Fundamental. What is a fundamental? Can my Bible be trusted? Is my Savior a liar? You don't get any more fundamental than that. But in Christ, when you find out you're at liberty, you find out what the gospel is, you trust Christ's payment for your sins, then you find out what God has made you in Christ, you find out what a member of the body of Christ is, what your hope is, what God's plan for your life is. You know what that does? That puts the fun back in fundamental. You thought fundamental was just legalists and don't do this and don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. No! When you are in Christ, forgiven all trespasses, as Colossians says, you are now at liberty to not see what I can get away with. Or you're not worried about the thou shalt nots. You're worried about everything that you do, doing it all for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you can do. And you know what? That's fun. It's fun to know you're saved, sealed, forgiven, headed for heavenly places. And now you can, Ephesians 5:16, redeem every little bit of time that you have left for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's fun. So let's do that. Let's put the fun back in fundamental. But that's all I have today. Did anybody have any thoughts or any questions? Comments? That must mean I talked long enough today. Yes.